Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib, the Executive Vice President Emeritus of the Orthodox Union, joining us. Rabbi Weinrib, how are you today?
I'm fine.
It's good to hear that. It's always good to hear your voice. And I was privileged to actually get a copy of an article that you wrote for the Jewish Action. The Jewish Action is spending, the next edition is really dealing with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And you wrote a very interesting article about Lubavitcher Rebbe, but perhaps in an area that most people don't really concentrate on. That really is his lumdus, his writing, his thinking. And the question is, of course, maybe because he did so many great things, this has somehow been overlooked. So is that the reason you think it basically has been overlooked as of this point?
Well, as you may know, as the public should know, this summer, the third day of Tammuz, is the 20th Yahrzeit of Lubavitcher Rebbe, and that's why Jewish Action decided to devote a tribute section to him with several articles by Chief Rabbi Sachs, by Rabbi Rakefet, by Professor Wertheimer, and by myself. I chose to focus on something that's struck me for quite some time, and that is that besides everything else that he was, a leader, a Hasidic Rebbe, the founder of a major movement, the inspiration for hundreds of shaluchim throughout the world, his political positions, etc., he was a tremendous lamdan in the traditional sense of the word. He was a great Talmud scholar. He published a great deal that's of value to any person who studies Torah, really at any level, from the most basic to the most advanced Talmidei Chachamim. And yet, for some reason, that has gone unnoticed or insufficiently noticed by most people. The reasons for that, I think, you know, sometimes when there's a person with many, many dimensions to his personality, it's very hard to focus on all the aspects of his personality, so we tend to focus on those that are the most accessible. I always compare it to the Maharal Miprag. The Maharal Miprag was a huge Talmud Chacham. He wrote halachic works. He wrote works of machshava that are really one of a kind and very prolific, etc. But if you ask the average person in the street, the Maharal Miprag, he'll say, oh, he constructed the golem.
Right.
Because we can understand the golem. We can understand all, as the average person can't understand or has difficulty understanding everything else it contributed. Even if the golem is probably just a legend, but very similarly, we sometimes focus on those things which we can understand, and things which are take a little more of more intellectually challenging get ignored. I think that's one reason why he's not sufficiently recognized for his tremendous contributions.
But let me ask you a question. If you look today, you know, at the beautiful work that's been put out by the Gutnick, I'm not sure if it's the Gutnick Foundation, but, you know, the Chumash that they have from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And now it's very widely read. It's in every bookstore. And the people who read it, who understand it, understand very clearly how he was a master and how he dissected Rashi, and he looked at Rashi and really looked at every word as to why did Rashi pick this particular word. And that in a way, I think, is helping a lot people understand, you know, the brilliance of who Lubavitcher Rebbe was.
Yeah. The Gutnick Chumashim, the five-volume Chumashim, are excellent. They're, of course, in English, so they're in translation, and they're selections of his commentaries on Rashi. I'm glad you mentioned his commentary on Rashi, because for me, that was really the first realization that I had of how worthwhile and useful the Lubavitcher Rebbe's writings can be on something which has absolutely nothing to do with Hasidus and nothing to do with Chabad, but just simply is a super commentary on Rashi. Now, super commentary is a technical word. When there's a commentary on a commentary, you call it a super commentary. And there are, obviously, there's a whole genre of super commentaries on Rashi. The Re'eim, the Mizrahi, the Maral himself, Gur Aryeh, is a commentary on Rashi. The Sifrei Chachamim is a commentary on Rashi, and on and on and on. But the Rebbe, the Chabad, has published, it actually began the lifetime of the Rebbe, a five-volume work called Biurim L'Pirush Rashi Al HaTorah, from the Rebbe. It seems that when the Rebbe would give a long discourse, a Hasidic discourse, at a Farbrengen, he would almost always start off with a Rashi on the Parsha, analyze the Rashi from a Pshat perspective, not from a Hasidic perspective, and then move on from there. And what the editors did is they took from the Rebbe's discourses just that first section, where the Rebbe asked a few questions on Rashi, analyzed the Rashi, and explained it. And what you have here is a five-volume work which is, pays attention to every single nuance in Rashi. In fact, what the Lubavitcher Rebbe was a little bit unlike many other of his contemporary Gedolim, in that he was interested in manuscript editions, in scholarly editions, in textual variants, things that often are not paid attention to in the classic yeshiva or Hasidic world. So often he would show that a difficulty in Rashi really boils down to a mistake in a manuscript. And if you go to some old manuscripts, it all becomes clear. Besides which, he paid attention to the sequencing of Rashi, to the titles of each Rashi. It's really a masterwork, and I recommend it in the teaching that I do to rabbis as excellent material for sermons, because usually not only does he analyze the Rashi and the pshat of the Rashi, but he says, okay, what does Rashi teach us that's relevant to our personal lives, to our derech avoda, as he would put it. And it's just a masterful, masterful work. It's easily accessible from the Lubavitch publications, and it's something that's anybody with a background in Torah study can benefit from.
Beautiful, fantastic. That's really great. And also, you talk about the Rambam. You know, once again, I don't think people associate the Rebbe with the Rambam as far as, but you know, you actually say in your article that he encouraged his Talmidim to actually study Rambam, maybe actually every day, and even for the more advanced students, perhaps more than one chapter, Mishneh Torah and the Sefer HaMitzvos and so on. I don't think too many people know that.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Classically, in the Lubavitch tradition, a person who follows Chabad will study Tehillim, Chumash and Rashi, and Tanya, Sefer HaTanya. Those are the big three. Tough. Tehillim, Tanya, and Torah. And the Rebbe innovated the study of Rambam as well. And he had a program, kind of like a Daf Yomi setup. But he had it at various levels, so an advanced student would study perhaps a chapter or several chapters of the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam every day. Less advanced, a person with less time would study one chapter. A basic course was just to study one of the mitzvos from the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. But the Rebbe felt very strongly, and this is kind of unusual, Hasidim in general don't emphasize Rambam. But the Rebbe did, and he felt it was very, very important, and they made siyumim, etc. What's also striking, and this is for students of the Lomdus of the Rambam, is that the Rebbe has various forums in which he analyzes the Rambam from a Lomdus perspective. My favorite, as you know, one of my consuming projects is my annual Tisha B'Av presentation. And one of the ways that I prepare for that, for the presentation on Tisha B'Av on Kinos, is by studying something that the Rebbe recommended, and I personally heard was there when the Rebbe recommended this. I heard him personally say this, and that's kind of what inspired me, was to study the Rambam's Hilchos Beis HaBchira, that section in the Rambam which deals with the Beis HaMikdash, with the temple, and etc. And he wrote, there is available a volume of his discourses on the Rambam Hilchos Beis HaBchira, and that it has two sections. One section is Hasidish interpretation, which are themselves very, very valuable. But another part is just simply an analysis of the Rambam from a Lamdasha perspective, where he quotes basically shown in the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, and et cetera, et cetera. And when you read it and learn it and study it, you know, you think you're back in yeshiva listening to a yeshivish analysis of Rambam. It's, and some of the, his insights there are really, really brilliant. I should say this, I don't know if you were going to bring up the inspiration, like where did the Rebbe, who was the Rebbe's mentor when it came for these kinds of things? So my feeling, and I know others agree with me, is that the Rebbe had a kind of a secret mentor, not really a secret, but a lesser known mentor. The Rogachev Gaon was a great Gaon. Rabbi Yosef Rosen was his name. He died in the early 1930s, maybe middle 1930s. He was an unbelievable Gaon. He was the Rav of a place called Rogachev, but he was also the Rav in Dvinsk at the same time that the Rameya Simcha, the Arsameach, was the Rav there. And the Rogachev, his writings are often very difficult. He's very, very brief, very concise. He gives references but doesn't explain what the references mean. And even really great scholars have difficulty understanding where he's heading and what he's saying. But if you spend enough attention, give enough attention to his writings, they just have brilliant insights. And the Rebbe, and becomes apparent in the footnotes to the Rebbe's writings, he was very familiar with the Rogachev's writings. The Rogachev's writings are known as Tzofnas Paneach, which kind of alludes to how mystical, how mysterious they are, how difficult they are to understand. But the Rebbe understood them, and he follows that approach. It's a different approach from the, let's say, the Briscoe approach. It's a different type of an approach to Rambam, but it's brilliant. And the Rebbe, really, one of his contributions is that he helps the average Torah student understand what the Rogachev is saying. If I personally look at the Rogachev Sefer, all I see are inscrutable, challenging, puzzling references to this Gemara, that Gemara, the other Gemara. But the Rebbe often puts it all together masterfully. And so what he's doing is he's exposing people to an approach that not everyone is aware of to the study of the Rambam and to the study of Torah in general.
So could you see, you know, things change? Could you see somewhere down the pike, let's say Yeshiva Bachram and Miri Yeshiva and Lakewood Yeshiva sitting and learning the Rebbe's Torah?
Well, it's hard to talk about that because it brings us to a controversial and difficult topic, which is actually it goes back to the old machlokas 200 or more years ago now between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. And of course, the leader of the Hasidic movement at the time of that machlokas, at the time of the Vilna Gaon, the end of the 18th century, was the ancestor of the Rebbe, was the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who that conflict between Hasidim and Misnagdim persists to this day. And in our time, the Lubavitcher Rebbe kind of personified the approach to Hasidus that was disagreed with, let's put it that way, from many of the leaders of the so-called Litvishi yeshivas. So therefore, it was kind of a resistance in the yeshiva world to the Lubavitcher Rebbe's teachings, even to those aspects of his teachings which are pure Torah, not related to Hasidus or his particular philosophy or theology. So I'm not sure that it's very practical to see a revolution in the yeshiva world and to see them turn to Lubavitcher Rebbe's Torah. But for those who are kind of, who transcend that old conflict between Hasidim and Misnagdim, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's writings offer a lot of very useful and impressive Torah. It's just pure Torah, with not related to that difficult machlokas in Jewish history between Hasidim and Misnagdim.
Yeah, just interesting that even when you meet Chabad And, you know, you see them all over, and, they're all over the place, and fantastic. Nobody else does what they do. And you see them learning with people. Most of the time, you see them learning Tanya. And you know, here you have such intellectual work, and there are people who really are impressed with that, and that, you know, they need that. That's their portal to entry. And yet, somehow, I still find they're still doing the Tanya when you could take one of the works of the Rebbe, which, from an intellectual, you know, point of view is so astonishing, would be incredible for some people, because not everyone is going to really have the same portal of entrance to Judaism, you know, as the next person. I mean, do they? Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe they do that. I haven't seen it.
Well, I don't know. Obviously, the Chabad are all over the world. There are literally thousands of shluchim, and I imagine different shluchim use different techniques and study, emphasize different aspects of the Rebbe's teaching. I think part of it is that Sefer HaTanya offers, as you put it, a portal, a unique portal, a doorway that many people, either not accustomed to Judaism at all or accustomed to other types of other drachim, other approaches, just speaks to them in a very profound way. I know my grandfather, who was a Hasidic Yid, but never heard of Chabad, never heard of Lubavitch. He was born in a different section of Europe, and he was a Saligera and Shortkiv Chassid. But he told me that in Europe, every Chassid studied Tanya. That was a kind of basic text. Whether or not they use the other material of the Rebbe or not, and how whether they use it, I really don't know. But I know my own work, my own teaching, and my own writing. You know, it's hard for me to integrate whatever I know of Tanya, which is limited, into my approach. But it's very easy for me to integrate into my approach the Rebbe's commentary on Rashi or Rambam or other things that are just plain part of the regular course of Torah study.
Right, you mentioned in the article, you talk about the different Chiddushei Torah and then the Lamdas as far as when it comes to learning Gemara, and then you also mentioned a very interesting Dishari HaMoadim, which is basically, I guess, a collection of different speeches that the Rebbe made or drushes.
The Dishari HaMoadim is a series of works in Hebrew and Lashon Kodesh that deals with the various Yomim Tovim. And here too, it seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that whoever edited that simplified some of the Rebbe's teachings so that it wouldn't be very esoteric or mystical, but just kind of down to earth drush. Which are just something any rabbi or any person who needs a good thought or a good idea about a Yom Tov can use. Just coming off of the Yom Tov of Pesach, and I carry that one volume of the Shari Modem with me all over the Pesach and use it for
really?
My drasha.
Well, okay. Now you just gave it away, though. Now people are going to know that, you know. So.
Well, that's okay.
When you go back to the hotel, if you come to the hotel next Pesach and every single person is walking in with the Shara Moedim, then, you know.
That would be a great success, and I'm sure the Lubavitcher movement would appreciate that.
Absolutely. Listen, I also want to ask you one final question. This is kind of off topic just a little bit, but to have you on the program and not ask you this question. I mean, there is no Rebbe today, and now you say it's the 20th Yahrzeit. I mean, it's really incredible, because I have to say, one of the things that, you know, I tell people all the time that I was so wrong about was I never thought the organization, the movement, would really flourish after the Rebbe was Nifter. I just thought it would just kind of wither away because you lost the central figure, and yet it's grown, proliferated, bigger than ever. How is it possible, and why do you think that is, and why do you think they've never decided to pick another Rebbe?
Well, you know, I think that, in a sense, what the Rebbe did was, and I think he himself put it this way, or others have put it this way, the idea is not original to me. He didn't create followers. He created leaders. What he told every shliach who went to wherever they went, in the far-flung corners of the earth, he made them into leaders in their own right. And this is very different from any of the other 20th century movements, whether in the yeshiva world or in other Hasidic circles, where the leader was a great leader, but he left followers and not leaders in their own right. So the Rebbe gave a challenge to every one of his, quote, followers, you be the leader. And that's what happened. And that's what we're seeing. I also wondered 20 years ago what would be with the movement. But the movement has grown, not only in numbers for sure. I mean, it's not just statistics. You got the metrics. You can see hundreds and hundreds of shluchim from all over the world. In fact, at the last conference of shluchim, they no longer can just announce a list of shluchim. It would take hours just to do that, the list of cities and countries that they're affiliated with. But not only in numbers, but in quality too, in the writings, in the productions, in the forum, in the leaflets, the videos, the website, on and on and on. The quality of material is just astounding. And if there's one purpose I had in writing the article and in talking about it in various contexts, I'll be giving a lecture in Baltimore near the occasion of the Rebbe's Yard site on just this point. The Rebbe contributed so much that is of value to all the Jewish people, learned, not learned, left-wing, right-wing, etc., that it's very, very important that we make use of it. And Lubavitch movement is doing so well at perpetuating the Rebbe's teachings in practice and also in intellectually. And that's part of why we commemorate his 20th Yahrzeit with such respect and reverence.
Oh, wonderful. Listen, I wonder, we can go on forever and ever. You are obviously one of the most interesting personalities in Jewish life, and the breadth of knowledge on so many topics, it just astounds me. The more the more we speak, and then over the years, just watching you, you're not a one-dimensional Tisha B'Av person, that's for sure. Okay, you're far, far, far greater than that, and we really appreciate everything you've done, and continued good health. And I love the article, and I'm sure people are going to enjoy reading it and listening to the lectures that you're going to have about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So thank you so much for coming on the program. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve.
Bye-bye.